Welcome to the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price, and I'm here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. Coach, welcome for another edition.
Glad to be back.
So your team got back into it last weekend. Had the long layoff, and now really starting to hit what is the critical part of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start out with last weekend.
Yeah.
The loss at Yale on Friday night, the win at Brown on Saturday. So a lot of things to deal with in there. One is the game against Yale. Let's start with the PA announcer.
Let's do that, yeah.
What'd you think?
Well, you know, it's so loud. It's so loud in there. I don't know if it's
the acoustics.
Yeah, because it wasn't that they draw a lot, right? It was just that I can't imagine what it's like for a men's game. It is really loud, so I'm not even sure I could hear him.
Yeah, the one thing is, so I was watching the game, and you know, Yale got on a run, and they were making a lot of shots, and, of course, they want him to be, you know, real loud and energetic, and, like, I'm sitting there watching it, and they're like, you know, they hit another three, and all of a sudden I hear him come on again about, you know, whoever it was. And I'm like, and, you know, sometimes when you're watching a game and you hear that, like, you hear the other team cheering or, like, you in your mind, like, shut up.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, I thought to myself, shut up. Stop. And then I realized who it was. And I was like, shut up, Greg.
Luckily, I didn't hear him because I might have said it out loud. I mean, that was a they really had an offensive barrage in the first half for sure.
So your team got off to a 9-0 start.
And
you're coming out of, I would assume, coming out of the 20 days off, it's the first, like, 2 or 3 minutes that you're worried about.
Yeah.
And once you saw that it was 9-0,
I was thinking,
okay, you know, this will be.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. And I think, you know, people said to me, well, what happened? It was, I thought Yale looked really good. They made a lot of shots.
They really did. You know, they're statistically the worst three-point shooting team in the league, and they were 8-for-12 at halftime from three. And obviously with the way that we know how our men play, and when you make shots like that, you become really difficult because the basket looked gigantic. Even their twos were really challenged. I mean, we're a good defensive team, and I stand behind that. I thought we were a little late to loose balls and things like that, which was some of the rust, I think, that plays up over the course of the first half. But, you know, and they really they crowded us defensively, and you know, we weren't good out of that. We stood around a lot on the offensive end. So I do think the rust played a little bit of a factor, but most importantly, they shot the ball really well, and we didn't play very well, and that's a bad recipe.
8-for-12 from 3-point range, as you watch, you know, 3-for-3 drop from a team that doesn't usually, no team makes them at that rate.
But
like, you know, at some point, do you think, like, you know, this is one of those nights.
I mean, yeah, you know, especially when, you know, two of them were against Bella's outstretched arms, and that's a 6'5", and I know as a shooter myself, you're not used to dealing with that length on the perimeter, so the basket just looked really big, and also their attack on the drive, they were making very challenged step throughs with their, we forced them to their weak hands, and they were making those, so yeah, part of it at halftime, I said, you know, this is, I don't envision that this is something that, you know, at some point, as you say, you go back to the mean. They never did. They stayed way above the mean, and as a result, they got a big win.
So then what's the challenge after that? So now it's Friday. You're in New Haven. It was freezing out.
Mm-hmm.
You just lost that game.
Yeah.
Got to get on the bus, drive up to Brown. You know, Brown is certainly a capable team at home.
Yeah.
Beat you there last year, right?
No, they beat us at our place last year. We beat them at their place last year. Yeah.
So, but a team that's beaten you recently.
Yeah, of course.
What is the biggest thing that's going through your mind on the bus?
And yeah.
Like, you know, like, is it a mental thing? Is it a physical thing?
It was both.
Or is it even just a, hey, forget this, let's just go be our
A little
ourselves.
Bit of all of that, actually. You know, I broke the film down on the way. It was about a two-hour drive. So we started the day on Saturday with clips of our defensive breakdowns, clips of 50-50 balls that we did not win, and then tactical. We kind of ended with the tactical part of it. Like, hey, this is the way that the people are defending us, so these are going to be different looks than you had for 3 weeks playing our style of defense. Because, again, we've been playing against ourselves for 3 weeks, so our style of defense. So I thought our kids made a huge adjustment with those three things, defensively, 50-50 balls, and then the tactical sort of way that Ivy League teams have to deal with us. So we focused on ourselves for the first part of film session, then we had breakfast, and then we focused on Brown.
So you're at warm-ups, and, you know, before the game, are you nervous? Are you feeling confident? And what did you sense from your team? Because it turned into a very solid win.
It really did, yeah. I felt like the kids, these are kids that want to have shown that they want to be good, and they are very coachable. So once they were able to see that the game was won or lost, the games are often won or lost, 50-50 balls, particularly because a lot of people on the other team's rosters are people that we have turned down. So they really are coming for us, right? And part of that adjustment with, okay, now this is what it's like in the league, the familiarity, and then obviously the defensive breakdowns. So the defensive breakdowns, the hustle plays, and the kind of intangible of playing against Princeton, we move on. Now it's the tactical. And once I was able to show them, and in shoot around, we focused only on ourselves. You know, this is how we need to play against this style of defense, given our standing around doesn't work against this style of defense. I thought we made a great adjustment, and I felt very confident going into the game.
So that was Saturday. Then Sunday was the Super Bowl.
Yes. Yeah, so I knew you'd bring
Patriots
that up.
Lost.
They did.
But, one, it was a great game.
It was a great game. Yeah.
What? I know you were rooting for the Patriots. Yeah. You're not really happy that they lost. But mm-hmm. you, what did you take away from that game?
You know, it's the power sport. I mean, you know, to have the Eagles win their first Super Bowl against the perennial champion, to have so many people that didn't want the Patriots to win because we like the underdog. That's kind of what I feel every day, you know, when we play an Ivy League play. Nobody wants Princeton to win. And, you understand that, and you have even more respect for sustained excellence. But, you know, Justin Timberlake was awesome at halftime. That was cool. And the Eli Manning commercial was memorable. So it was fun.
I thought most of the commercials were bad.
You did.
I think they just tried too hard.
Yeah, they put a lot of money into it, too.
But they try so hard, and they just flop.
Meanwhile, the best one was, yeah, I mean, you get Eli Manning and Odell or Beckham, you know, they do their dirty dancing, and that was probably the cheapest commercial to make, and it was probably the best.
And were there no Clydesdales?
I didn't see any either. No, I didn't see any either. That would be the first time in a while.
So Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. What's incredible to me is that people are saying how, you know, like, are critical of his performance. Again, yeah. He threw for 500 yards
totally.
In the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, again, he's kind of chasing his own success there. And you can either, that can either shrink you or he can retire or he can keep meeting it. And I think it's, again, I kind of liken it to the Princeton basketball experience. You know, we can either shrink to the fact that we're the hunted or we can understand that we're also hunting. And I've got a lot of respect for what Tom Brady's doing is he's hunted every game, but he's always on the hunt. And that's fun to watch.
And I thought from the Eagles standpoint, you know, their fans seemed happy that they won.
Totally, yeah, come on.
But what's interesting to me is that had Carson Wentz not gotten hurt,
yeah,
there's no guarantee the Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because he couldn't have played better than Foles did in the Super Bowl. So
no,
when
you're
they
right.
got to the Super Bowl,
yeah.
it was the same matchup. He couldn't have played better than Foles.
Yeah.
And that's what it took to win that game, is Foles playing nearly perfect.
It really did. And it shows, too, like, obviously the cliche, like, be ready when called upon. And, you know, I can think of many players and instances where be ready when called upon. You know, Tia had struggled kind of coming out of the gate for league play and, you know, really broke down film for her. And then on Saturday, she was critical. She was a, you know, difference maker. And she had, you know, she's not in the starting lineup because I think she can probably do a little bit more off the bench when she can assess what's going on. And her adjustment and being ready when called upon, that's what makes sport so fun.
And then Kalea came back.
Yay! Isn't that, I mean, to see her first basket when she just streaked the floor and had an and one and watching her teammates celebrate her, you know, the many hours that she spent recovering from the ACL and how many hours she had to gain her strength back and gain her confidence back. And, you know, it's such a lonely injury, and I'm so proud of her. Happy for her.
So up next is Harvard and Dartmouth at home and then Penn at home Tuesday.
That's a big three.
And then Cornell Columbia, I assume it's
on the road.
Cornell first.
Yeah.
So Cornell and at Cornell Columbia. But one, that's 5 games in 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something that you used to have to do before the Ivy League tournament
mm-hmm.
because you play Penn the last game of the season. So
yeah.
One, what are your thoughts on that?
I've never done it, so I don't exactly know what they are yet. It beats playing zero in 3 weeks, right? So if I have to have extremes, I guess I'll take the extreme of 3 games in 5 days. Ironically, it's the 4 top teams playing each other. You know, what I really appreciate about it is that Penn's in the same journey we are. So you're all kind of, it is very equal in that way. I don't quite know how to deal with it. I always err on the side of being too relentless. So I'm trying to adjust accordingly this week. Yeah, I guess we'll have to figure it out next week and how it went.
I mean, you mentioned the top 4 teams. So if the Ivy League tournament started right now, it would be Princeton, Penn, Harvard, Dartmouth.
Yeah.
And so clearly it's not just any couple of games that are coming up. So let's start with the fact that all the first three are home.
Yeah, that's nice.
I assume that's helpful.
That is helpful. We have, you know, it's where you practice every day. It's where you know your routine. You know, we've actually been probably even a better road team.
See, I always thought, like, going on the road in the Ivy League gets you away.
Mm-hmm.
You're all together. You're focused. It's not like you're going into a place, like, you know, where there's 17,000 people
all
screaming against you. So
yeah.
I always thought that the going on the road piece, and the other thing about being on the road, and I've seen this a lot, is it really demoralizes a team when you start beating them in front of their home fans.
Yeah.
Way more than it does when you're the
home team.
The road team getting beaten in somebody else's gym. So I've always thought that being on the road in the Ivy League is in some ways has a lot of advantages to it. Mm. But still, the idea of playing here is helpful, especially when you have to play that many games in the short
Time. Yeah, and we draw well here, you know, where we draw the most in the league, and there'll be a lot of people in these games, these next three. But I think part of it is you're used to your own rims, you're used to your own lighting, you're used to your own floor.
How big a deal is that in Jadwin? People make a big deal out of the uniqueness of the gym and the and the depth behind the baskets and the ceiling.
Yeah.
And the lighting and all those things.
Yeah.
It makes it hard for opponents who never practice here to shoot here.
Yeah, I think back to when I was playing. No, I think when I was playing, it is different because, you know, you got Brown and Harvard and Dartmouth. They're more sort of this, and even Columbia, they're kind of more like the high school feel in terms of the size of their gyms. But, you know, the Palestra and Payne Whitney at Yale and Jadwin are bigger, you know. So I remember as a shooter just recognizing it being different. But I will always say this, that when I was at Dartmouth and playing against Princeton, they always had this sort of celebration of one another that has become the Princeton tradition in all sports. And I remember coming down and knowing that, God, they're going to be celebrating each other in a way that's going to annoy me if we let them get going, you know. And so we hope we can look forward to celebrating each other.
So you have Harvard first on Friday.
We do, yeah.
And then Dartmouth Saturday.
Yeah, with like 40, I think we're up to 44 alumni coming back.
6 o'clock Friday, 5 o'clock Saturday?
6:30 Friday.
6:30
I don't quite
Friday.
Know why that is, but yep, and then 5 o'clock Saturday, yep.
Okay, so what do you do when you have that many? And then the Penn game is?
Tuesday.
6? 7?
6:30 maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Those are details.
Look that one up.
Yeah, that's on the World Wide Web, as they call it.
But so having not gone through this before, what do you do? Do you alter your approach at all? Do you alter, like, your routines of preparation? I mean,
well,
the
we
thing
give
about
them
Penn, I would assume, is you don't really have to spend a lot of time on scouting.
Right. No. Yeah, we are, you know, I don't know. I mean, we'll be off probably on Sunday. I don't know. I think why we've been pretty good here is I sort of stay in the moment. So we're practicing today. We'll practice tomorrow. We play Friday, Saturday, and we'll see how that weekend goes and then where we are and what that entails for Sunday, Monday. So I don't, and when I say I don't know, I truly don't. We take it day by day and how we're doing.
The one benefit is that you don't know, it's not like you're at a disadvantage to Penn. Penn is doing the exact same thing.
Exactly. That's what's neat about it, actually, that we're the two that have been traditionally over the last 8 years been the best, and we go through the same journey at the same time, which is kind of neat. Our academic calendars are different, but.
So the Harvard Dartmouth pairing is interesting because for years those were the two teams that dominated the league. You know,
yeah.
Obviously, you know, having been a big part of it as a player and an assistant coach. Still a lot of pride in those programs.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy Delaney Smith at Harvard is still there. Dartmouth has changed coaches in recent years. But you know,
Dartmouth won the most Ivy titles of any team in the league. They've got 17. And that's a winning tradition that they're fighting for their life. And they're in it longer than they have been. So this is. These are going to be two great games, I think, and they play different. They have different styles, so we'll have to kind of adjust game to game. And then, of course, having Penn in here, we sort of know what they do. We know the battle that always is.
Is it hard to keep, like, I don't know. To me, I look at it, oh, it's 3 games in 5 days, 5 games in 8 days. I'm not sure if I'm a 20-year-old, 21-year-old player that I look at it that way. I mean,
well, especially the way we practice, Jerry. We practice so hard that I think some of them are like, oh, good, it's a little, like a little break. But you're right. I think it's all they know, this Friday-Saturday deal, and then you throw a Tuesday game in, and they're like, all right, I guess I got a game. So,
and if you lose one of them, especially, like, you know, say you lost one over the weekend or whatever, how hard is it, and I guess you saw this last weekend, how hard is it for them to turn the page? It didn't seem like it was hard at all.
Yeah, no,
but
I think
the frustration is, like, we let that one get away. We'd love to get that one back. How do we get that one back?
Yeah.
But you can't get that one back.
Right.
And now you got to turn around and play right away.
Exactly. Yeah, you just got to focus on the next minute. You know, you hope that doesn't have to happen, but it did last weekend. You just kind of focus on every win or loss counts the exact same in this league. And so you get 14 of them. And the more that you win, the better the chance you have playing in March. And, you know, it's almost better that they're all the top teams because then you're not like, well, I'm not really preparing for that one. I'm preparing for the other two. We are in earnest preparing for all three equally.
So Saturday night, in addition to Princeton Dartmouth, is a milestone for Princeton. It will be the 500th game as public address announcer for Bill Bromberg.
Get out.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fun fact. Okay.
Between all the sports he does. Basketball, lacrosse.
How neat.
He's done a handful of other sports. But that's a lot of games.
That's a lot of games, yeah.
And he also is, you know, I know Mitch likes him. I know Mitch likes his interactions with the crowd.
No doubt.
What do you think? I mean, you know,
he's got a really he has a good feel for Jadwin in terms of the type of basketball community it is. And he's really classy. You know, we had to actually tell him, hey, you don't have to wait 20 minutes for the other team to celebrate their starting lineups, right? And he sort of wasn't budging on that. Like, that's what we do. We welcome the other team, we let them say what they need to say, and then we move on. So I think he's a classy member of that scorer's table, and he's a consistent energy that we get used to.
Yeah, and he's 500 games is a lot. I mean,
it's a lot.
I'm wondering if anybody's ever done the PA more than he has for Princeton Athletics. I mean, that's a ton of games.
That is a ton of games. Yeah, I think I've come to expect this at Princeton, but he just has a ton of respect for this place and a ton of love for it, and it's cool to be a part of it.
So that's 500 games for him. 500 event Princeton events. His 500th one will be Saturday against Dartmouth. So it's Friday night Harvard, Saturday Dartmouth.
Yep.
Those we know are 6:30 Friday and yep. 5 on Saturday.
Those are facts, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess
let's get through the weekend and then we'll figure out.
Penn is Tuesday and you will play
It's around 6, 6:30 or 7. Yeah, come at 6 and you know you won't miss it.
And those are the top four teams in the league right now. So it should be some very good basketball being played out in Jadwin Gym this weekend. And we will talk about all three of those games and look ahead to the trip to Cornell and Columbia the following event on the next Court Report. But for now, I just want to thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure, Jerry.
So once again, for Princeton Women's Basketball Coach Courtney Manghart, Jerry Price saying thank you for being with us on the Court Report, and thank you again for your continued support of Princeton Women's Basketball.